Brisbane and welcome to the Roarcast. My name is James Price, here to take you through the odyssey that is the Brisbane Roar Football Club. And we had a bit of everything this weekend. We had a win, we had a draw and a loss. And I'm joined by two of my usual comrades now. Mr. Danny Butler, how are we?
Yeah, going well. Hello, everyone.
And Mr. Ben Clark, how are we?
Oh, look, I'm taking my sabbatical from Twitter. I'm trying not to take it personally. But
you look really stressed out because of this over there on your comfy couch.
This is his normal position when he comes. We're recording at my place, though, and he likes to lie down on the couch.
And look, you know, but you can tell my body language. I'm very just stressed and, you know, really taking it to heart.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm sure people are missing the constant stream of quality content. But
yeah, I think Twitter's stocks went down.
Never fear, people. I will be back.
It's a week-long ban, just in case you're worried.
I like to think of it as a week-long, like, preparation period.
Yeah. It's preparation for everyone else. All right, where do you want to start? Do you want to start happy? Do you want to start in the middle? Do you want to start sad?
Look, I think we should ramp up the I think we should ramp up this week because
All right.
Yeah.
So that means we start with the sad.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, this week with the Y-League. Now, and I guess officially, they are still top of the ladder, but it was a 3-1 loss down there in Adelaide in front of a massive crowd. 207 people, Dan.
Wow.
At the Y-League.
I'm surprised that they actually released the attendance this week.
Like I said, it's only actually us in Brisbane that don't seem to do attendances. Everywhere else does. And 207 is a very unique number.
That's a very well calculated number.
And better than 80 or 90 or something that was at the victory on the last time we won. So it was Adelaide United 3, a Jai King Byrne got them off to a flyer in the second minute. Michael Cittadini in the 13th minute really had them kicking along. We pulled one back through Kai Tapaldo in the 21st, but Mohamed Toure, who I know she might be the brother of Toure at the top of the Olaroos and has been the sensation this season, in the 77th, got the sealer for Adelaide United. So a huge win for them. Aaron Reardon picked up a book in the 66th minute and Mirko Boland in the 69th. So the only real A-League player that actually played was Aaron Reardon. So, yeah, didn't really have any over.
That's a bit rude. We stole their star striker and didn't want one back.
I know. And we are now paying for it. This is the big problem. And it's put into real doubt if it's going to be hashtag coming home.
Where's Dave when you need him?
Yes.
We're still top. It's coming home.
Yes, we are still top. So this is the situation, right? We are top, but we are done. We don't have a game. Adelaide United and Melbourne Victory play each other, which is the very convenient part. However, they are both 1 point behind us. So the only result that works for us is a draw, because thankfully we have an awesome goal difference. So it's currently we're on 14 points with a goal difference of plus 13. Adelaide United's on 13 points, so 1 point behind both Melbourne Victory and Adelaide United. Yeah, so they have a plus 3, and Melbourne Victory has a negative 2, which is mainly from us spanking them early.
I know I want us to win, but if Melbourne Victory win 1-0 and win the league with a negative 1 goal difference, that would be just peak.
Big Wiley, top of the league with a negative goal difference. Yeah. I can't actually remember where that game is. I my gut feel it's in Melbourne. But it's not for 2 weeks. So that's where that one is. So we are done unless we make the final. That team is done. And if we do, then it'll be like literally 3 weeks between us playing. So
for ignoramuses like me, what do the Wiley guys do after that? Do a lot of them get absorbed into NPL?
Yeah. So a lot of our players will be in our NPL team. Probably apart from like an Aaron Reardon because he's in the senior squad.
Yeah, if they've got a contract.
Yeah, if they've got a contract. Yep. So, yeah, but most of those players, and that's probably what maybe they were preparing more for, was the NPL starting up, which we still don't have a draw for, which is a little bit weird. And some people start to go, when's there going to be an NPL draw? Like, it's meant to start in like a month and a bit.
Wow.
So that's a little bit concerning. So, but I'm sure Football Queensland will release it soon. So
watch this space.
Yeah, watch this space. And that's where most of them head off to. And some, if they've maybe been in our sort of youth team for a little while, and I guess they can't continue on, then you'll see them actually sign for another NPL club in a full time basis. So,
or as has been the case previously with Victorian Premier League clubs or New South Wales Premier League clubs.
So. Yeah, the ones that have a hell of a lot more money than us. So
yeah I was just trying to get my head around it because obviously part of the A-League growing with time to think about the structure of the league and talking about what happens with Y-League and second divisions and NPL, and I was just trying to get my head around where the players are, you know?
It's always a really mixed bag. Yeah. Like, it's half of them seem to leave, half of them stay.
Yeah.
You never really know, and then all of a sudden, like, a name will just disappear for a while, and then all of a sudden they'll pop up another club, or they will just appear back in our team, like, because they try and sort of mess around with when they maybe have a break, and it's a pretty mixed bag. So
it's another thing you would throw into the summer-winter debate. Anyways, for another time, I just thought I'd get your advice on that. So everyone's
and then the Y-League's due a shake-up anyway, because obviously Western United didn't join it this season. So with Western United and McArthur coming in, surely they would want to have Y-League. They should have Y-League teams, at least Y-League teams, if not W-League teams. So
well, I mean, if you can win the league with a negative one goal difference, it's probably due a shake-up.
Well, not only wins the conference, then you've got to go play the grand final, so which is the other conference. Conference. It is a bit of a joke, the Y-League in its current form. But anyway, it is what it is, and it's still a trophy we could win, and we won it
last year, and we got to back that up, baby.
That's it. Let's move on then to the A-League team. It was a big 2-2 a draw at home, and that man, get in man again in the 34th and the 45th plus 3 minutes on the double. Yes, I'm making that a thing. Don't just...
I'm reading over his shoulder the run sheet, and it is written, get in man.
Melbourne City did pull back. We did go ahead twice, pulled back twice very quickly, so we didn't really add to those times leading minutes percentages.
I did comment on that during the game,
I think we're up to 7.5% time winning this season.
Oh, yeah.
I know, we're really climbing up there. We'll be in double digits in no time. We don't know what to do with ourselves. No one scored in the 39th minute, and Nathaniel Atkinson in the 48th with a bit of a thunder bastard in front of 10,659 people on a pretty warm afternoon. Bookings to Scott Jamieson, Tommy Aldrin, and that's his fifth. So he will be missing the next game. I mean, El Capitan and Jack Hingett in the 80th.
Who is going to captain us next game?
Well,
Donovan. Not Rice, Vice Captain Rod.
Probably Jamie, I would imagine. Maybe I'd imagine might be either third.
Jamie or Jack,
I'd probably give it to Scotty Neville. He seems to put Scott Neville into every other position.
As long as he's not injured. Didn't he go off the last two games?
He has, yes. So that's, I mean,
what I'd really like to see is Jacob Pepper.
Jacob Pepper captain?
If that happens, I'm not going. I'm just staying at the pub. No, wait, I'll leave after the Legends game.
Leave after the Legends game. Yeah, so I guess, I don't know where you want to start. Neville did go off. He went off about the 20th minute and replaced by Jake McGinn. So maybe Jake McGinn, captain.
Oh, yeah.
Are we going through these? That doesn't make a lot of... I guess...
Brad Eamon's been scoring all the goals.
Took Scotty Neville off, forced to take him off.
Mm.
Bring on Jake McGinn on the right. I'm wondering if we wouldn't have been better swapping Hingard over to his preferred foot and going with Powell. I feel like that's a statement from Fowler.
Jake McGinn seems to only be able to play right wing back.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Yeah. You swap Jack over, make your left wing back space free and bring on Powell. But Robbie's, like, that's a statement. He thinks McGinn's got the chops. And I don't know if I agree on that one. That's the point I'm making.
Oh, yes. It's a fairly strong agree on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Brad Inman, though. Talk about confidence, man.
Oh my God.
4 goals in 3 games now. The only one that's scoring for us.
I really think that comparison with Gus Boyette that I made on last week's show is more apt than ever, because Jesus fucking Christ, when you're on a tear as that sort of player, my God.
And obviously the first couple were sort of like real smash and like bangs in Thunder Bastards out from outside the box. The
Newcastle one.
Yeah, absolutely. Off the underside of the crossbar. But these two had some real poison about them, and you know, a couple of sneak steps and a bit of a fake dummy, and
he looks like a guy that's really, like, when you say all the platitudes, like, he's in form, he's confident, he's not thinking too much, it's all instinctual, he knows how big the goal is, you know, like the first one he dragged across to the right and still managed to slap it back to the left hand post, like he's looking up, but he's not, like, a lot of that's just instinct, and I think when you're in form and that's what like I say, when you say those platitudes, that's what you're getting at.
And it basically goes, you know, when you're in this sort of rich vein of form, you know that it's going inside the post, not on the other side of the post. Like, you just know it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get such a feel, like that feeling of, oh, the goals are fucking massive for that guy. That is really true, because you can see it in both of the goals that he scored. He was like, right, well, I'm going to sell this dummy to give me more space to put it right in the corner.
Yeah.
And then the second goal, I'm going to turn, because turning is going to give me a chance to open the goal up for myself to once again put it in the corner.
and he's thinking about that so quickly in his mind, because
it's just going back. It's just that confidence is just sky high at the moment. And, as we'll get to, could have had a hat trick, really just on top of the world at the moment. And
that forced a great save out of their goalkeeper, Bezanis. Yeah.
Backup goalkeeper, Bezanis.
Well, it was number one, lost it to Glover. Glover's off at the Ollie Rooney.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
But look, I'm just really, I'm just pretty impressed by him at the moment. Like I said, I'm not overly impressed by his general involvement in play, right?
Mm.
But that's not the type of player he is. We shouldn't try and want him to be something he's not. At the moment, he's doing what he's meant to do, and obviously he's scored the two goals. He just keeps on scoring, and while he's doing that, he needs to stay in the set.
He reminds me very much of Brett Holman at the moment. And pretty quick of mind at the moment. And
I think I made the same poetic comments about Holman, it is a similar sort of, similar sort of player that he is. Just very jinky, very almost a herky jerky sort of style. Just kind of a bit unpredictable, and that's. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we definitely need a bit of that. That's what we've been lacking the season to date, unpredictability.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think part of that was the way that he was being utilised earlier on in the season as well, because he was being a bit of a, square peg round hole.
He was playing way far forward for what he's used to and being asked to do a lot more work.
This sort of position and this role seems a lot more natural for what he's been used to playing.
Because we had our back five, and then we had our two holders who was in this game?
Pepper. O'Shea.
Because O'Shea's dropped back, hasn't he?
O'Shea
and Pepper dropped back. So he's playing of a midfield three. He's playing at the point.
Yeah.
And then we have Mrajic.
I actually don't think so.
Am I missing a player?
I think we're actually...
Because we had Mrajic and Marty Holloway.
Oh, Marty Holloway, yeah, of course. Yeah, so we've sort of got the front two. Yeah, so he's in that in-between line between our defensive midfield and being able to float in and find pockets of space, and he's doing that well. So clearly the difference being he was used much wider when he was out there. He was up front with O'Donovan, essentially.
O'Donovan was always central. A bit more of a... He had a free role, but he wasn't in between the lines. He was, I need to be out wide on whichever side.
He was looking for space, and he couldn't get it when he was up front and man-marked a bit as
well. Exactly right. So I think getting in there between the lines, he's been able to get more space, which he can then, utilise more effectively than, the way that he was utilising it, playing more wide, playing, further forward,
And I think if you look at some of the other, and whether this is intentional or not, some of the other changes, so we've decided... Sort of Marty Holloway and Mrajic. Sorry.
Happy birthday to Mirza as well.
Yep. 20.
So we're using those. Both those guys come looking for the ball a lot more.
Mm.
So when you talk about Inman getting in between the lines, well, they're also coming and making channel runs, pulling players in and out of there. So that creates more sort of lateral movement for him as well, up and back.
Yeah, because when you had Roy O'Donovan up front, you don't have any of that.
Yeah.
You have him just basically... on the shoulder of the defender, not kind of dragging players out of position. The players can just stay in their formation and, keep the four as the four, not drag players forward, potentially drag players back with runs. They just know exactly where he is at all times and what he's going to do, and it's very predictable. Whereas Holloway and Mrajic very much just... A, have the work rate, and B, have the unpredictability to just be like, hey, we're doing weird shit.
And you saw that for both goals. It was McGinn to Marty Holloway for the second goal. Admittedly, Marty Holloway actually mishit the pass back. It sort of rebounded off of a City player, and it fell to Inman to do it.
It was
O'Shea to Mrajic to.
Well, it was Mrajic that made the ball into the box. O'Shea ended up getting it too.
Ricocheted. Yeah. So, both were sort of a bit broken when they actually got to him, but he still made something happen as well. But there was good play that led up to it.
The movement and the shape is what gets guys like O'Shea, and then the second time it was a Marty Holloway. Yeah. They were one-on-ones, and then when it deflected or popped out to Inman, he was one-on-one or one-on-two. Like, that's what you need. You need that isolation in parts of the field.
You just need those balls into the box that create the chaos that you can then capitalize on, because it's very rare that, you know, you have a... You know, in modern football, most teams are well organized enough that, you know, set plays, like set sort of attacking moves, aren't really going to create all that many goals. You see so many more from broken plays, from mistakes, from second phase sort of set pieces or second phase, you know, attacks, you know, and it's almost like we're trying to create that now, whereas that was never, like, it was always just like, oh, we're going to play this way, blah, blah, blah. You know.
Far too structured. Yeah.
It's like we're trying to create that chaos now, and that's actually been a positive for the team, you know. And we'll get to the negatives of the team, but.
Yeah, that's it. One thing to say, though, was, I guess, at the other end of the field, Jamie Young, goalkeeper of the week again.
Yeah.
I mean, well deserved. That double save at the end, like just making himself big and just knowing, you know, just putting his body on the line, making himself big. Like, I don't think there's another keeper in the league that can actually do that as well as he can and pull it off, and just the reflex as well for both. And, you know, he keeps us in the game. You know, he does keep us in the game more often than not. And, yeah, it's hard to go past him. And once again, yeah, team of the week again. He was our player of the month for December, which says something about our play. So, but our two goals that we did concede, because I don't know, well, actually, let's talk about halftime for a second. Do you think he should sign up Bugs Bunny? He looked good out there, mate. He looked all right. Or was it just the opposition he was up against, you know, Tweety and
Daffy?
Well,
I did notice that I think one team had the web feet and one team had the actual shoes on the paws. So it was kind of a bit of an unfair match.
Yeah, so there was a halftime Looney Tunes activation where Bugs Bunny and Tweety played Sylvester and Daffy. I think
it was a Daffy and Tweety on the same team.
Oh, Daffy and Tweety. Okay, based on the feet. All right, yeah. That makes sense. So, you know, yeah, this is what we get when we have a Warner Brothers.
I got to say, I enjoyed it almost as much as Little Xavier.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's fun, and there was apparently stuff, Shaun the Sheep pregame and stuff. At least it was better than the singing when we had, like, the singing trying to get the crowd involved, and that one did not go well.
I get that there are any kids, and I'm clearly not involved in the kids' circle, and I had no idea what any of that was.
No, that was not as good.
Oh, it's good. Good on.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about the two goals, because they did respond pretty quickly. The tracking for the first goal is the one that just was just awful, and you just see. But once again, it was making something out of, like, there was good play led up to it, but in the end, it was actually just someone sort of making a smart run to just get on the end of a ball. And who was it scored their first? Oh, no one scored their
no
first.
No one scored.
Yeah.
Hey. McLaren. So McLaren peeled off, I think, Aldred.
Yeah, he was in behind Aldred, yeah. Well, Aldred was the closest. Maybe McCauley should have been.
So it was kind of a big lob. And you know what's crazy? And I only picked this up because Fox commentary called it in replay. They said it's amazing that he headed that back.
Mm.
He was in scoring range off his head with the form that McLaren's in. And all our defenders stood there and didn't track no one's run.
Yeah. But it's Craig Noon, in case you're wondering. Just in case you're confused. Noon with the double O's. It's double O's. It's no one.
So no one tracked his run, and it's not an excuse, but you can see why the players didn't expect J-Mac to have that back. You would just expect he's got, 10 goals already this season or something. Well, you would just expect that to be another one.
Yeah.
Well, look, he's kind of always been that sort of player.
He's smart. He knew it was Jamie Young in between.
He's the right option.
Because he was on a pretty narrow angle, and he'd know Jamie Young, and he'd probably know that he probably isn't going to score past Jamie Young there. And I don't know whether he really saw the run or not, but he was sort of probably open body enough that he might have seen the run coming.
It was such a good assist that no matter how hard Noon tried to miss it, he still managed to hit the inside of the post from 6 yards out.
Yeah. Yeah, he did try his best to miss it, but it was poor, absolutely awful tracking. He literally runs past someone. It might have been Gillespie.
Well, I think
he literally runs, and Bowles doesn't track him as well.
He literally runs in a straight line, ends up in the middle of three defenders with the ball just basically
at his feet.
Literally at his feet. Like, it's just absolutely hopeless. Hopeless tracking, hopeless everything.
And the second one, which was probably, to be fair, it's a really good finish in the end. It takes some scoring, but we just give him way too much space.
And it reminded me of the way we usually marked him in Petratos.
Yeah, that's it. We just keep backing off, and then they just go, oh, fine, I'll put it in the back of the net from distance. And he did, and yeah, we see that goal a little bit too often in the last couple of seasons. It's,
oh, we really do.
Yeah, and it's sort of everyone's on one side, and you actually picked up, Dan. It was Brad Inman probably should have been.
And this is what I say, like, last week I was a bit of a negative Nancy on the whole Inman, and he's come back and repaid that comment with two goals, so get off his back a little bit. But that's, I just want to point out that that's what I mean. The second goal, he just drifted towards the middle, which is where the ball was, and then Atkinson came in from the right a little bit, made himself available at the top of the box. Inman realized too late, the pass had gone out to him, couldn't get to him, shot goal. And that's what you trade off with the way we're playing. We talked about the two strikers and Inman in the lines. We don't quite get as much defensive work out of those guys, and that's the consequence.
But seven defensively minded players should probably generally be enough.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. At least to cover the space.
Jack Kinga wasn't really covering anyone out that wide. Like, he was sort of still hanging out wider, and it's like there was no overlapping fullback or anything. Like, he could have cut in, and he sort of tries a little bit late, but yeah.
The build up as well. Like, how did the ball pop out to him? Was there something we could have done? And
because
of shape or directing the play, yeah. So it's not all his fault. It's just another thing that you got to... If we're going to play like we are, that's fine, bit of chaos, but we need to probably just have a bit more effort.
And really, for 90 minutes. And really, probably in the end, it was just... The game sort of was teetering out.
It was so humid.
It was so humid, and, like, you know, I had a... And, like, I was trying to remember back, like, did I miss anything? And literally the KO mini jumps from the 61st minute when Luna has a bit of a half-scuff shot straight at Jamie Young to the 96th minute. I'm like, okay, no, I didn't remember forgetting anything. No, 35 minutes of nothing happened. Not even enough for a KO mini that was already struggling for content. You know, it's like they're struggling for content when, like, they do, like, the full intro, you go running through the teams with the commentators. Yeah. They show you, like, the banner, all of the players get the photos. Like, so they were struggling. Yeah, so it's... And that was probably when you sort of hoped maybe we'd push on and try for it. It just
I got pretty frustrated in the last 15, especially like right at the end. I think Galloway got injured, and they were down to 10 for 5 minutes, and we just didn't really look like we were that ambitious. We didn't flood forward. We weren't desperate for the win. We didn't want to risk
our We did look like we were playing for the draw.
Yeah.
And to do that at home, it doesn't matter who the opponent is. To do that at home, to play for a draw, unless you're down a 10-man or unless there's extenuating circumstances, that's something that this team should never, ever, ever do.
Yeah, and it just seemed to me, and I know we talk about him a lot, but it just seemed to me that it would have been a really good game for Dylan Wenzel-Halls to maybe get subbed on.
Instead of fucking useless Roy O'Donovan.
You felt the crowd, like, no one cheered Roy O'Donovan coming on. Like,
it was a smattering of boos, and not just from the, like, not just from the den, because, I mean, we started up the Wenzel-Halls chant.
Yeah, we were literally singing for Wenzel-Halls, and then the subboard came up saying Roy O'Donovan. And it was, you could tell even like the Western stand, you know, was pretty like Roy O'Donovan.
There's no enthusiasm on the field, which is a shame because the crowd, I mean, 10,000 people was a pretty good show and it was pretty loud and rowdy for us.
Yeah, it was certainly at the end, like with the pressure.
As we commented at the time, it's pretty sad when you've got, you know, a crowd that is, you know, basically ambivalent at best to a guy who is a marquee striker.
Yeah.
Like, who's meant to be, like, and he's coming off the bench. So you're just like, oh, wow, like, we're so stacked that we've got a marquee striker coming off the bench. It's absolutely not like that at all. There is no excitement around him, you know. Everybody that I talk to about him just thinks he is the fucking laziest sack of shit on earth. You know, they don't want to see him come on. They want to see Wenzel-Halls because he actually adds something. He doesn't take away. So, you know, it's...
We talk about it all the time, but it was just really noticeable from the crowd this week. Like, it was just a real point.
It's like the crowd reached the tipping point that I think, you know, I've been at pretty much since the start. Like, you know, it's like the crowd has finally caught up with that sort of, you know, vocal minority that have kind of been like on him from the start, you know. And it's interesting to see when those tipping points happen for different people.
Now there's two little sort of referee incidents we need to talk about. One was the potential penalty for Marty Holloway first half. I've seen the replay. I thought he goes down pretty easy for a little jersey.
I think he gets tugged and then he leans. Like, yeah. You know, when you're a striker and you want to lean so that when they pull out, you can fall on them. But
yeah.
The player's already locked on. I feel like
he goes down the ground really easily for a bloke his size. And I think referees might know that. So it was interesting that I think you said Fox that it, they were like, yeah.
Well, they said shirt pull, it's so clear. That's instant yellow card, penalty go. No question. So yeah. Surprising. Yeah.
No, well, if it's apparently so clear and go, then why didn't VAR get involved?
Yeah, it's as clear as the handball rule.
Yes, yes, exactly. And the last one was probably, and this was just really. I mean, this is obviously like we're pushing out a couple of free kicks and a corner's late, and we're pushing and pounding for a late winner. Like, and finally,
I took just it to realized the what you're talking about.
95th minute, and like literally, pretty much the last play of the game, where Jay O'Shea whips in a free kick from out wide. It clearly comes off the defender. I think Curtis Good from Melbourne City goes out for another corner and the referee's no goal kick.
We didn't even challenge. There was only one guy there exactly. To win the header.
And the best part is that Fox Football shows a camera angle there, that camera that sits like right where the subs come on the field. And you see that the referee, like the camera is like, he's blocking most of the view. And you can see it. It's like, man, how did you miss that? Like, that's a really bad miss. But look, you know what? If that's what you're complaining about, why you didn't win, well, there's 35 minutes of action that didn't happen before then that maybe we should have tried to win
the game harder in. So it's just one of those.
It was just frustrating at the time.
Yeah, get it right. We're hyped up. They were down to 10 men. This was their chance. Maybe Jamie Young would have come up.
Absolutely.
Can I throw it quickly? I know we want to move on and not have another two-hour gigantic podcast, but Crowd was really good fun from where we are. I wanted to just point out, we're talking about Brad Immons scored 2 goals, and then every time he touched the ball for the next like 10 minutes in the start of the second half, I think, whenever he got the ball in our attacking half, everyone went, shoot! It didn't matter where he was.
Yeah.
And the other good one was, we're on a bit of a run at the end, had a couple of corners, I think. One of them popped out to Danny Bowles from about 25 yards out, and everyone went, shoot! And he sort of looked up and then trapped it. But wanted to round the 10,000 people. Den was really good fun to hear from Not in the Den. It's a good measure of how it carries. It sounded good on the broadcast when I rewatched some of it, so...
Yeah,
just the atmosphere was better with the dog going.
I think the den's actually contracted towards the back, and so the people are there are probably a little bit closer. The drum's back, and things are working a little bit better there at the moment. So
yes, everyone's kind of singing from the same sort of hymn sheet, at least for the present, and the atmosphere is better for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that leaves us currently in 12th, not in 12th position. There's not 12 teams in this comp yet. Not yet. Don't stress. We're in 9th position. It's funny, the table show is going up, and I swear we're at 9th at the end of last round as well. But anyway, played 12, won 3, drawn 4, lost 5 at the moment, 14 goals for 19 against 13 points on the board. It's all getting very tight and close, sort of like, because Adelaide have been on a really shit run recently, so they're sort of dropped back in the pack. Like, we're, like, 5th and 6th are really open, and we're only, like, one win out of it. Our form needs to improve a bit, but we're not
going on though. Like we kind of were a little bit negative about the A-League team, but I think just personally, I felt like we showed a lot more spirit than I've seen in a Brisbane Roar team for a long time. We've mentioned why it was scrappy and the things we could do better, but I think player by player, I think we're showing a lot more heart.
Yeah, it was a better performance on the weekends, and
it's not sparkling football, but. Mm.
And the second half showed that when, like, as we talked about, like, nothing happened for 35 minutes at home, like when you're tall. But
I'd rather a draw where we look like we gave a shit than a small win where we just kind of beat Central Coast a few weeks ago without even trying.
Our next game, it's a really interesting one. This one, so the Wellington Phoenix are coming to town once again. That 4 p.m. Saturday kickoff. Yeah, love it. Yeah. Just love being in the den and just the full afternoon sun on me. It's just the best, Ben. I'm sure you agree.
I tell you what, though, that is the legitimate chance that we have in this game.
The sun that will actually literally could melt. Kill and murder
the next players.
Yeah.
Those Englishmen.
Yeah.
I really.
Not our Englishmen, though.
Yeah. I'm just thinking.
If our smoke hasn't got them, then our heat will. So they're currently in 4th position, and it's in a really good run of form. So they've played 13, won 6, drawn 3, lost 4, 20 goals for, 16 against, 21 points on the board. Davila is an absolute star. They played before us on the weekend against West Sydney Wanderers. Davila with a lovely slotted finish home from outside the edge of the box.
Looks like one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
It has to be a decent shout for Johnny Warren at the very least.
I would say so, absolutely.
Wellington are probably one of the most exciting teams to watch right now. Like, we're watching sort of City and Victory dropping off after a couple of good games. Sydney, of course, are good to watch, but Wellington are exciting, like really exciting to watch.
I mean, Perth steamrolled as well. They were pretty. They're the two at the moment.
Yeah, missed that game. They're totally out of sight, out of mind. But
the distance derby will be very interesting.
Yeah, it will actually be a cracking game of football. The distance derby. So Wellington. Gary Hooper's been, I think, finally up to form. He started on the weekend. He is a player that could literally die in the heat, though. Who's the other one? There's the other Doe. David Ball. He missed last game, but he's expected to be back for this one on the weekend. So, quality players.
The team, like so much of their team, that Kikache is one of my favourite players that I haven't actually seen much before. He's brilliant this year. And they're playing without Biscopo, who's over with the under-23s. So, another great player.
Evidence to the, Wellington Phoenix don't develop Australian players brigade.
there's way too much evidence against that one now.
I'm just watching that team going, they sold Singh last year and he was unearthed from God knows where. And here they are replacing.
And they lost Krishna's a superstar, and David Williams had been playing really well for him. And Rudin leaves, takes their rock in Durante, starting keeper Durante,
centre back, and
a midfield, and an up and coming midfielder.
Yeah.
And really unstabilizes the team.
Yeah, definitely.
The job Ufactali has done coming up, because we saw him. When they played the Strikers in the FA Cup.
And they looked pretty.
Yeah, you were looking at them going, oh, geez, this is going to be a long season for Wellington.
But I definitely tipped their manager to be the first one sacked. I thought they would just fall apart.
But he is clearly the sort of guy that we should have been looking at, when the position became available,
Well, this is the other thing. Him and any of the players that he signed, technically we could have had any of those guys.
And the thing is, with the Brisbane job, we could have beaten out Wellington to LA by 6 months. We could have hired him halfway through last year.
Yeah.
Got him in to stabilise Sydney FC. What wasn't there to do? Although he is like Sydney, he's a Sydney guy.
But
you would have complained about that, Ben.
But I would have been a lot happier about that than, theoretically at that point, waiting 6 months to sign Robbie Fowler.
They've made two quality choices in a row. Like, for whatever you want to say about Rudin and his USBs, they've made two quality coaching decisions in a row from him, because he turned that team around last season and got them playing good football got them one before he pissed off to one. And then, now in fact, Ali. So, and they've just signed a bunch of players to new long-term deals as well. Like, they're kicking goals.
And you've got to rewind to before Rudin came. That was the time when everyone basically started saying, do they deserve to keep their license? Yeah. And they put their foot down and said, we're sticking around.
Yeah.
We're not flogging it off to South Melbourne. We're not hoofing it anywhere else. We're keeping it. If you want other teams, get more licenses. And they've stepped up and really proved they should be it.
I think, that they had an inflection point. I think they did try and sell to one of the bids, the Sydney bids, and they were knocked back. And they just seemed to recommit back the other way. It's great for the league, I think. I mean, I'm a big Wellington fan.
I'm at the point where I'm saying, can we get another New Zealand team to boost the sport in New Zealand? And maybe clearly these guys keep unearthing good players. There must be good Kiwi kids out there dying for a run. Let's find another Auckland team.
Get a Christchurch team. Who knows?
Get a derby out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's there's the opportunities there. That's it. So anyway,
compared to us, then. So what are we going to do to stop them? They're going to come at us. Similar to City, but in better form.
Yeah, I mean, they run directly at us, and that's been a big problem for us. So I think they'll probably still try and counterattack.
Who's going to stop Hooper?
Who's going to stop Hooper? And if Aldred's out as well, and if Ball's back in, and if we've got that run out wide from, from Davila, who likes to cut in, like, it's some really dangerous options to.
I'm not optimistic.
Yeah, it's.
Because Davila will run at Pepper and O'Shea a little bit more. I think he comes a bit deeper and he just roams.
It's interesting that they were in pretty rubby. They were in okay-ish form until we played them. We've played them into form and they've been awesome since they played us. So maybe we'll be the tipping point to stop their awesome run.
We're at home and we're undefeated in 2020 still. So
and it's probably expected to be hot again like it is. So it is a chance. Anyway, that's more than enough. We normally talk about previewing a game. So that is 4 p.m. kickoff at Suncorp Stadium on a Saturday afternoon. There's kids. There is a thing with Brisbane junior players. You can get like a free ticket with a March pass. We'll get into the news a bit later about who's in the Raw Legends as well. So
yeah, that, that's also pre-game.
Yeah, that's also pre-game. So it's going to be a good day. So if you're on the fence, I think it should be a good one to come out to with plenty going on. Let's move on, though, to the happiest result of the weekend. And boy, did this come out of absolutely nowhere. We're, of course, talking about our amazing W League team. Western Sydney Wanderers, nil. Nil. They'd been undefeated all season. Nil. Brisbane Roar, four. Four. It was amazing. Alira Toby in the 50th and the 70th minutes. Hayley Razzo in the 60th minute. And she was sensational. Leah Davidson ruining the pattern by scoring in the 68th minute. But if that's the only complaint, and that is the only complaint I'll have about that goal, in front of 1,186 people, which is apparently a good crowd for Sydney.
It
is. And, especially the Western Sydney Wanderers W League team, actually. So most of them are going home very unhappy. There was bookings to Razzo in the 40th, Polks in the 45th plus first, Courtney Nevin in the 58th for the Wanderers, Riley Bazed in the 59th for Brisbane, and Hun in the 63rd for the Wanderers. Ben, how good was that 20 minutes of sublime scoring football, and where has it been all season?
I'll tell you what, the 5 minutes before halftime, and then basically the first, you know, basically from the 40th till the 70th.
Yeah.
This game was fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah.
So much happened.
Mm.
Like,
the highlights package does not actually do it justice, does it? It does
not do it justice. Because people had kind of told me, hey, this is the stretch of the game you need to watch. You know. So I didn't really watch the first 25 minutes with such great, you know, interest. And I didn't really watch.
It was a bit broken down and it was pretty sort of filling out. I will say, Alira Toby coming in from the blue, she wasn't even the squad. Seems like Tamika Yalup. That's her name.
That's right.
Tamika Yalup. I was calling her old name and her new name together. Tamika Yalup, and not even in the squad at all, so maybe sick or something like that. Alira Toby, not an original squad, comes in just a match day like we did with Mirza against Newcastle a few weeks ago. Comes in. She nearly should have scored about 2 minutes in. Yeah. Just literally the crappiness of the box. Each goal mouth was rubbish.
Oh yeah,
and it just a bump, and it just you could see it, like it put her shot off, and if she connected properly, it could have been 1-0 after like 2 minutes. But
yeah,
and you guys, I think one of my first broadcasts this year, you guys were talking about Alira. I think just saying she'd been a little bit off form after a bumper year last year, and this season she just looked a little bit off. And look, maybe this is a good one where you take a few weeks on the bench. It lets you.
She hasn't been on the bench because you only have the four on the bench.
Ah, right.
You know, she hasn't even been making the bench the last couple of games. So,
yeah.
But she seemed to come in with renewed focus in this game. It just straightened us up having a proper striker as well. Like, you know, there's something. Yeah, okay, Pep's Barcelona was amazing, but sometimes you just need a striker up there to put the ball in the back of the bloody onion bags, Ben.
That's absolutely right. And look, you know, I think the strangest part about this being a 4-0 result and having what happen in this game is that through it all, I think my man, you know, my woman of the match is Mackenzie Arnold.
Yeah. Yeah. Like she
my, yeah. like
my rundown sheet, you know, cause I often put in the rundown when Jamie Young makes an amazing save, which is every week. So I only had Jamie fucking Young. And well, this week there was Mackenzie fucking Arnold in this week because she was incredible. Like, The save with her foot against Kirsten Hamilton, which first was an amazing turn to spin around.
Kirsten Hamilton just looked like, you know, she did the sort of turn when you spin the defender like she did, it's like, okay, well, that's a goal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like, and she's turning inside out Bray and Polks. Like, it's no mugs on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I think you point out Dan, she probably could have shot a little bit wider, but it still was a fantastic foot save. Then there was a double save at the end of the first half. Doesn't
take away from the save at all,
save at the end of the first half, you know, the tip of the bar.
Yeah.
You know, just like, oh, just...
And then the big actual diving save away to her left with with her fingers. So
she, like, it literally could have been 4-all if it weren't for Maka making, like, you know, the real sort of low percentage saves that you don't see saved in the W League all that often.
Yeah.
Like... Because legitimately, I would say that her and Lydia Williams and Casey Dumont would be the three keepers I could reliably say would make those saves in the W League.
And it's a reason why those three are the ones going away to the qualifiers. So,
yeah,
and that's it. So, to be fair, the goalkeeper for Wanderers, she's not Australian.
She's the American, but
she's a pretty quality she makes a couple of these saves as well. So
yeah, yeah, like it could have been, you know, realistically, it could have been like 9-5.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Like, Razzo should have had a hat trick. Like there was a couple of literally a couple of where she's got it on the bar when she's so clear, like.
Yeah.
In a as I believe that a certain someone on Twitter called a homage to Mickey Yallop's scoring ability this season.
Razzo did have the best assist though.
Yeah, yeah.
She played that left footer off the post. Right.
Yeah.
For Toby to score.
That's it. That first goal is you know, and if we want, we'll talk about the four goals now. Like that first goal is fantastic. Like it's a fantastic run, and that shot from that angle to get it in on the bar is just a fantastic effort.
I'll tell you what, the ball from KK to let Razzo loose in the first place. Just inch perfect.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. I very much enjoyed seeing KK back in the starting lineup because they did a bit of a tactical sort of switch with having Dalton at right back.
Yeah,
with KK in midfield, which is kind of where I thought they'd go, but I didn't know.
We were never quite sure which way it was going to end up with between Beret, KK. Yeah. And sort of Dalton, and so
I think they did the sensible thing, to be honest, because
I mean, once now that Beret's been back in the center in that center defensive position the whole, you know, for a month a bit now, like that's it is a logical thing. And I didn't think she was great when she came up against Melbourne City up at Redcliffe, but this game she was clearly the confidence is building, and that was what we've been missing in the center of the park with not having Beret there to really drive it forward and better and get our attacking run going. And
you could just tell that, because I mean, KK came off in the middle of a great run.
Yeah, that's right? True. Yeah,
but the momentum had shifted so totally by that point that we were able to keep stretching it even once she came off.
Mm.
And I think that Lee Davidson really helped with that. But we'll get to the second goal before we start talking about her. We'll talk about Haley actually
scoring. And this was amazing, Dan. Like the way that she just pressures and pinches.
She made that goal herself.
It was Quinn that did the sort of, you know, bit of a
I reckon Huynh will be having nightmares about this game because she was involved in a lot of the things and was at mistake a couple of times. So, and she's one of their imports. So, but the pinch, but then the shot from distance, nice and low, bottom corner, takes the keeper by surprise.
Yeah, poor keeper just couldn't figure out what part of the goal to cover. And it was just inside the post. So.
Yeah, that's probably, you probably didn't see in the highlights, but she'd actually come out and sweep the keeper past it.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, the post turned over. Like pinched it, had a look up. I mean, you can't ask for any more than that. She read the play and put the hammer on.
Looked up and took advantage.
Yeah, that's it. And that's just sometimes that's where the confidence is at, and Haley's been in great form. So, that was fantastic. But probably, do you reckon the pick of the goals is the third one?
Look, I really appreciated the first one just for the ball from KK to Russo. Like, the run of Leah Davidson and the ball from Holly Palmer was just, mint for that third one. Like, you know, Holly gets released down the left and just sees Leah making this unbelievable run. Admittedly, marking
through a space the QE2 could fit through.
The seas had parted for her, similar to what they parted for Craig Noone in the A League. Like she was in an acre of space that she had no right to be strolling into, but it was basically put right on her to just fire past the keeper. Like keeper had no chance.
It still took some finishing because, like I mentioned before, both the boxes, they'd clearly like relayed the turf and it was bumpy and lumpy and crappy.
Torn up
and, like all the under sixes have already been let out to train on it despite it being a top level at W League game happening.
They had Looney Tunes as well. It was just more like Tassie Devil.
exactly. And, you could see like on the, like it's bumping around but still slots it away.
Yeah.
I suppose she's fresh out of the NPL, so probably maybe a bit more used to playing on non-track surfaces. But still, great finish. That's sublime football, great run. And good to see the young players linking up. And I think each one of those three young players that have been circling through have all scored a goal now.
Yeah, that's
or maybe
right.
one. So, or maybe there's one that hasn't.
Because Holly scored, Lee scored.
And IPR scored.
And obviously, Indy's scored a couple.
Yeah.
So.
I think there might be another one that maybe has occasionally had one that hasn't
and scored. And obviously, Riley scored as well.
Yeah. So, it's great areas and And then the final goal, Ilira Toby just sort of snapped, quite actually a hit from distance, bumps it well. And that's and the quality we saw last season, and a bit of poise and a bit of nous around goal. And
yeah, for sure. And I think that it was also helped by Wanderers just really having a massive whinge about that one because they all thought it was offside.
Yeah.
But that she was clearly being played onside by one of the centre-backs. I'm pretty sure it was Quinn again. if you look back on the replays, it was pretty clearly onside.
Yeah.
Ilira just really lashes that one home too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's good to see Ilira get back on the score sheet. Hopefully that gets her confidence up and her back up when it comes to the pointy end of the season, because we really needed her.
I think this team has missed a striker, a good striker, and I feel like that's been my lament about this team a lot. Like, you know, we just haven't had, and then Toby stepped up into it for a patch last season. If she can make it count now, that'd be great. And there was a reason she was in the Matildas training squad, admittedly not in the full squad, but...
Yeah, because, I mean, we'll remember Waiki Chung.
Mm.
You know, she came into the team, you know, a couple of seasons ago, looked like a good sort of hold-up, you know, striker, and didn't score the goals and got shipped out because... Yeah. Wasn't scoring the goals, and it's been a similar story, seemingly ad infinitum.
Yeah, and that's why we always need like our, you know, we always need a Razzo, or you know, and last season it was the American that became English. I can't think of her name. Yeah, she had a longer name. I can't pronounce it. You all know I can't pronounce it. You've all listened to the show before. That's what we need. So that's the opportunities there for Ilira.
Yeah,
if she can sort of keep stepping up and doing stuff, but. If Yallop comes back in, then who do you, you know, how do you drop out? Where do you put Yallop in the team? And we were very much in this game, when I looked at the average positions thing, we were very much a 4-2 sort of 3-1 in this game, which is not, like Gori was very much playing back next to KK as sort of two deep line midfielders. So, you know, and that means that Gori, if she's getting in the game, getting a passing range going, that's always a good thing for us. And then, you know, we made a sub with Gori and, you Gori and KK went off during the game. So, and then we released more attacking players, and I think Dalton came into that defensive role. So it's, you know, there was a bit of moving around, but this was the win they needed, and they dominated. So I've got the stats up there, 27 shots to 15 and 14 to 4 on target. So, like, that is a domination no matter who you are and what on your planet and in any football game. So it's a deserved win.
Oh, 100%. Mm. And I'm just really, really, really pleased for the girls because, you know, they've been absolutely battling it out and they've got some really bad breaks this season. Mm. Like, you know, they've had some really bad luck. So it's just really nice to see a game where everything came off. Now, the one thing I did just want to mention about this game as well, this is possibly the dirtiest W League game I have watched. there were some genuinely nasty sort of tackles from both sides, I might add, but particularly from
our players would never put in a dirty tackle. Katrina Gori is the cleanest tackler of the football I have ever seen.
So
she does not get angry.
How many of them bookings are our players versus their players?
Three or ours, two of them. So
we're the cleanest team.
But legit, they
Pox didn't deserve a yellow.
And
Pox. She doesn't get yellows.
And I tell you what, Nevin and Winch probably should have been sent off, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because they were repeat offenders. They really should have, you know, at least been borderline sending off.
Actually, the amazing part is that Gori doesn't have a yellow card because she's always in the middle of everything with things going on.
I legitimately do not know how.
I think she literally shoved Amy...
Amy Harrison.
In the chest. Yeah.
After getting scythed down, you know, just really cynically.
Yeah.
But then Harrison doesn't get a booking either because that was a legitimate, like, clear-cut booking. Like, yeah, so the ref was lenient, so there was only, what, 5 yellows?
Yeah.
But it could have been...
It could have been a lot more.
It could have been 12. Like, it probably should have been 12, you know, with a red or something. Like, yeah, it was legitimately, like... Yeah, the dirtiest W League game I've seen, like where both teams were actually dirty. It wasn't just like, you know, a really over the top referee throwing out cards, like, you know, like it was a Uno game. You know, it was,
and that's because we definitely, it was clearly our plan was to pressure them from the first minute and, like, just get up in their faces and not let them get into their style of play. And,
they really didn't like it.
No, they didn't like it at all. They didn't like that pressure getting taken to them. So that's fantastic. And that's what it's half the time, that's all you want to see is your team. Is like, if things aren't working, then just have work rate and put the pressure on, and results can come. Like, we've got the quality. We know we've got the quality. So,
and that's what we were doing, the mathematical stunt last week to figure out what the girls need to do to get into the finals, and we kind of almost wrote this game off. And so you could say this is one of those season deciding games. You got nothing to lose, but if you can get something out of it, you might as well go and have a crack, because it can totally change the season. And maybe, like, that's what we're kind of hoping from here.
I remember actually saying we need to beat one of the top three away from home, because we've got all three of them away from home.
And we have.
And we have. And that's huge.
And we've added some goal difference, so we've made our goal difference positive.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, essentially we've given ourselves the confidence that we can go and beat anyone at their pitch.
Yeah. Have we cracked the Western Sydney Wanderers armour too? Like,
That's it. Like, this is a big. This is big for them. Like, they're obviously missing. We talked about Lynn Williams missing, and I believe they mentioned the coverage. I think Denise O'Sullivan, which has obviously been another starting, decent, good starting player. I think she's only on a guest contract, and her contract's up. So, like, they're going to lose her. Lynn will probably come back, but as we get into this weird patch where we're only a week or two away from where the season sort of shuts down for about 2 weeks, then coming back after that gap. It'll be really interesting to see what that gap does to teams. Like, I mean, we've literally got six going away, and we'll get to that in the news section. But it's going to be really interesting. But this is huge for our confidence, and we needed that. And it doesn't get any easier, because the next match is now literally. So at the moment, we are currently in fourth positions, and so that's a good spot to be. But Melbourne Victory are right behind us. I don't think Canberra are going to be taking us on anytime soon. They got annihilated by Sydney FC in their catch-up game, so I think they might be out of the equation. But as we probably suspected, so it's between us and Victory. But now after that win, even Wanderers, who have dropped to third, are now close enough to probably catch. So. You know, anything could happen. We currently have played 8, 1-4, drawn 1, lost 3, 14 goals, 4, 12 against, 13 points on the board, fourth position. Next game, though, Sydney FC at Leichhardt Oval, Thursday night football. Don't you love it? 16th of January, 6:30 p.m. kickoff up here. That'll be on Fox Football and Co., not on your free-to-air like it was on the weekend. So they have currently played 8. They have won 6 and lost 2. So goals for 16 and 8 against. And most of those 8 came in a 5-0 loss to Melbourne, to Western Sydney Wanderers in the derby. So they've got 18 points.
So we should put 9 past on them.
It multiplies, Dan.
Well, we had 20. 24 shots or something. Yeah, 27 shots, so... Just got to get more of them on target, Razzo, and we'll 20 goals, please.
No pressure, Haley, but it's all on you. You're the one that has like half those shots. So, yeah. Look, Sydney FC, they played their catch-up game against Canberra, robbed them 4-0. It was a weird weekend. There was literally 3-4-0 results. Yeah. But although officially only 2 games happened from the weekend, and so the team of the week was literally half Melbourne City, and they put all of Melbourne City on one side, five, and then half of Brisbane.
They didn't even try and hide what they'd done.
No, it's just like, you guys won, and you guys won, and you guys were awesome. And the only thing that annoyed me was that Ellie Carpenter was playing at left wing back, and Parsons was a right wing back. But anyway,
just you couldn't upset the design of the team.
No. Maybe could have flipped in that way. And we had our goalkeeper in defense, so we had 6, they had 5. So, yeah, it was pretty funny to look at, though. But when only 2 official games happened in the round, you can understand. So, yeah, Sydney FC, they're in great form. Look, they're still as strong as ever. When you have a Caitlin Ford up front, and you have the goalkeeper's Bledsoe from the US, and we, you know, Alana Kennedy down back with, like, Ralston, and they just got quality all over the park. And we normally struggle against Sydney FC. So, yeah.
Prior grand finals.
They're a long time ago now. Yeah. They demolished us last season a couple of times, and I'm still having flashbacks. So, but this should be a cracking game of football around on Thursday night. And, it's exciting, I think. It's, lots plenty of Matildas going head-to-head. So,
definitely.
Yeah, it's one to certainly get around. Let's move on to some good, bad, uglies. We always love to get your feedback and what you've all been thinking about it. So we had a couple float in this week. Ben, who have you got for us? It's one of our regulars, actually.
So, yeah, absolutely. We've got Baza Knazza on here. So the good. After the game, my son came out sprinting to me to the car when it rained. Mini-me is getting quick and good to run in the rain in my going-out leather thongs. Bad. With 20 minutes to go, our inputs look completely buggered and look like they needed oxygen. Ugly. Andrew Thrall would have won that game in first gear yesterday, and it took until extra time for Robbie to motivate the guys to press for the final five. Hard to argue with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Tassie Diane replying to us, good, Gillespie's best game for the Roar. He had a good one in the FA Cup as well, but still a long way to go, but credit where it's due. Yeah, fair enough. Good, an extra good in there. The women, a really good display. Absolutely, just been covering that one off. It was a fantastic display. Bad, the men and the youth couldn't win. Ugly, I don't think anything this week. P.S., the crowd number was accurate despite the guffs on Twitter. Yeah, no, that it looked about a 10,000 on crowd. Yeah. The side on the sun was empty. The side and the shade was, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. People have learnt where to sit in Brisbane Raw games, and it ain't the side the TV camera points at.
Shame.
And you got
not
one
for,
more.
Not for a Saturday afternoon game, anyway.
Yeah. One more there from Cliff.
Ah, yeah, Clifford Stewart. So, I'm not seeing the good and the bad here. I've got ugly. I'd go with the defence. I think he's following on from Diane.
Oh, okay, right.
So, yeah, he said the noon goal, both Gillespie and Bowles literally stopped and let him run through for a tap-in while they were ball-watching, which I agree with, and apparently so does Nick Meredith.
Because Nick Meredith did, tweet his agreeance with that statement.
Yeah. Nick Meredith, he hasn't been doing much this season, but he did go and, like, take a whole bunch of jerseys over to Africa, and there's a photo that he put up of all these... There's all these Brisbane Roar jerseys, weirdly, in Africa, but it's for a certain cause. Football's for Africa and sort of, like basically taking all the old sports gear
He's been doing some charity work, so good on him, even though he's a complete dickhead. You know, complete dickheads can do some good stuff sometimes, so credit where it's due.
Was he browsing someone on Twitter the other day?
Oh, probably. He's always doing that.
I'm banned, mate, so yeah. I don't know. And Richard Raw, not really good, bad, ugly, but we'll include it anyway. Says, a mixed bag of results for the Roar this weekend. Well done to all the teams. Three teams, one club.
Yeah, well, he's very a great
on-brand for Richard.
It is very on-brand. He loves to get to every game, does a good old Richard Roar.
Certainly does.
He gets around, and you can't miss him in his big orange-red wig. And if you're in an away game, make sure you sign his banner that he's getting around every weekend with. So, good on him.
I want to throw something in. I saw a comment on one of the socials, but I can't find it in the... 10 seconds that I remember to start looking for it. I'll be honest. Before the game, Jamie Young went up to a kid in the crowd and threw some, I don't know if it was a shirt or a training shirt or a pair of gloves or something to one of the kids in the crowd. And, I think the dad came on and said thanks for that in one of the socials. So just wanted to remind everyone is how great a person Jamie Young is. And best of luck to that kid. Hope he's an aspiring
I did see something about it. There was something about that. There was something to do with the story, wasn't there? I think so. Hey, anyway, Jamie Young is a fantastic
person. It's the little things that make you want to be a part of this club, and that's one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's roll on to a bit of news. We'll get to the biggest news first. The most exciting news, I think. The news that everyone has been waiting to hear about. It is always our number one priority around here. And of course, I'm talking about the E-League.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this is going to be our main priority. And I tell you what, I mean, I've got my next three away days booked because the E-League is changing. Big changes are put in the E-League. Not going to be a weekly event anymore. It's going to three separate event nights. So two are in Sydney on the 15th of February and the 7th of March. And then the grand final weekend is happening in Melbourne on the 9th of May. Someone's building some special esports arena, biggest in the Southern Hemisphere sort of thing. So, but the great news is that people can actually go along and watch all three. So you can actually go in, be part of the crowd. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm sure Richard Gore will be there.
You always could. It's just, you know.
I don't think you could really just go to the Fox Sports studios and watch, could you?
Yeah, you definitely could. It's just you got kicked out of the studios.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, you could always try and turn up and, yeah. I mean, mob them in the car park, of course. Yeah, I mean, there was always people mobbing them in the car park.
So they've taken a leaf out of the NRL Super Round where all the teams come together and play at the same venue on the same weekend.
I think it's going to be in the same sort of, you know.
It'll still be round robin format.
It's going to be the same sort of legendary crowd atmosphere as a Thursday FC taping. Oy! So, you know, I really think everyone should get around it. Hey, you're speaking as some. I'm speaking as somebody that attended a Thursday FC taping. So, yeah.
It's look. I mean, this is. I think this is a cost cutting thing. I'm not sure Fox Sports are going to be involved in broadcasting anymore. It'll probably just all be on Twitch. You know, it's. But they've been able to sort of get it to another level within like the actual FIFA. You know, rank FIFA playing FIFA online ranking stuff, and it means more playing in this. So the Knicks are actually can have Kiwis in it this year, so it's not just like an Australian qualifier, it's like an Oceania qualifier. So the Knicks, because they actually have one of the best players in the world, is a Kiwi, so they can use him. So, yeah. But now they can. I think it's Honey Badger or something like his name. Or, anyway, don't matter. Look, if you really care about this, I'm sure you're into it. Just wanted to say that our two players have been announced. Aussie FIFA HD is returning to keep up the good fight on the PlayStation. Meanwhile, on the Xbox, we've gone for a new player in Naylor AU. His real name is Ryan. So
can't pick what nationality those guys are.
It's not obvious, is it? It's awesome. They're really hiding it. Yeah. He's a big Austrian fan. Auburn, I think. Yeah. You know, over in America. Yeah. Auburn University. Yeah.
Alabama. Nah, good luck to Dylan and Ryan. Hey, look, we have a good laugh. Esports is a thing.
Yeah.
Like it or lump it, and if there's a way that it can help grow the profile of the sport in Australia.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. It's interesting. It's different. It does bring a little bit of coverage to the A-League and maybe crowd in areas that it wouldn't traditionally. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I didn't actually know this year if they're sticking with the whole, they need to mainly keep their A-League teams and only a couple of imports or whatever. I think when West United are actually competing in this, so they can compete in the way in the E-League. You can't get a W-League or a Y-League team up. Anyway.
I think the overheads are a little bit low for this, mate.
Yeah, they are. They really are. And look, I think one of the big issues with it was actually flying everyone into Sydney every week to actually play in the old format of weekly. So,
yeah.
You know, this obviously gets around that when they can just all stay there. And they're on Saturdays now instead of like
Thursdays.
I mean,
and if I'm I don't know Dylan and Ryan, but if I'm sort of in their shoes, I probably prefer this method.
Mm.
Trying to free yourself up every week for X number of weeks, you know, connectivity, there's a whole list of other issues. This way you just go in, you have big power, you get to meet all the other players.
Yeah, like if you're working full time, which admittedly a lot of these guys probably aren't, because if they're at this sort of level, they're actually playing, you know. But you need even to take a whole day off to go just for, you know, play two games,
and a lot of them are like making quite a bit of money on Twitch. Some of them at least are making quite a bit of money on Twitch or streaming just in general off ads and subs and all that sort of stuff. So you know, it's the E-League is, you know, boosting off their popularity as well, as well as you know, it's kind of a symbiotic.
Yeah, it is.
Rather than taking them out of their regular streaming routine and their ability to make money, you know, for, you know, once a week each week, you know, it kind of just brings them in for a big tournament, and then the E-League gets to capitalize on that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a good setup. Absolutely. Improvement.
All right. Team of the Decade got announced. This is a fans' vote that happened through the Brisbane Roar website. So, Michael Theo, goalkeeper. You know, admittedly, Jamie Young probably could have taken that spot. Back four of Franjic, Smith, North, and Steph. Oh, yeah, Theo won the championship. So, I mean, I'm not surprised at Theo, but. So, Franjic, Smith, North, Steph. I'm not sure there are too many. They're probably the second centre back position was always going to be a little bit questionable, maybe. But, I mean, that's pretty much the back four that won us the grand final against Western Sydney Wanderers. I think Franjic was still around for that one. Oh, he might have left by then. Might have been Hingett, actually. So I'm not sure if those four ever actually played together in the grand final. Midfield three of Partaloo, Mackay, and Broich.
Yeah.
Broich is not a midfielder.
Well, yeah, no, he's not. But, you know, when you look at the front three, you understand why he's in midfield.
But yeah. You're not going to put Bess in midfield.
Yeah, well, he drops back into midfield when he gets upset that he's not getting any service. And a front three of Enrique, Bess, and J-Mac. So J-Mac's probably the interesting one. He's the only one that's made the team that never in one of our trophy teams. So, although, I mean, he admittedly nearly got us to a Premier's plate that his first season almost single-handedly. So. Yeah. And playing, people loved him up here.
Golden boot.
Yeah. So,
do we pick a coach for that team?
No, funnily enough,
I just can't imagine which of our managers would be chosen. No idea.
Fred Thiessen, clearly.
Robbie Fowler.
Aloisi? No.
Miron.
Yeah, Miron.
Who? No, wiping that from my memory.
Mel Andretta, probably.
Oh, well, that opens a whole different can.
Yeah, it does. Sorry,
Enrique, you were great, but we've got Razo.
Yeah, kick North out. We need Pogs in there. I would actually love a W League team of the decade, because Polk should just be in there as like, because she literally is playing like every game at centre back. Like, who else is going to be in that spot? There is not anyone.
She didn't surrender her spot. No one else.
Before the game on this, the early game on the weekend, as part of all the things creating money for rural aid, which we covered off across last week, Club Legends are going to playing 2 20-minute halves, which is probably smart in the heat that will be at 2 p.m. I think it's about 2:10, 2:20 p.m. this game's kicking off, playing in MPL Queensland Select 11. And today we saw Matty Mackay, Matt Smith, Michael Baird, Warren Moon, and Jonty off the Richter scale get announced. Oh, yeah. Get announced. So you might not have that chance.
I gotta say,
Jonty's off the Richter scale,
I've never heard that.
He's off the Richter scale,
And literally played for us for what, one season?
I think so,
season one. That's it.
Club legend.
I think all three of those are only one season. Oh, Moon might have. He might have played two.
I think Warren played two, it's very much, you know, one season wonders for us. Michael Baird did come back to the A-League after going off to Romania. Yeah. Very much a one season wonder with us.
Yeah.
And let us not forget, former Golden Boot winner.
Yes, that's true. This is true. Yeah. Amazing, really. They're the first ones to be announced. I'm sure more will be announced over the next few days.
I'm sure they'll just trickle
They're just trickling out. They did a bit of a thing today for the news. So, obviously, those last three are all, you know, original from the first season. So, that's
bring probably back what Mo Adnet.
I don't know. Has that man got a visa where he's allowed to move around? So, he may not.
Not sure.
I'm sure Enrique will be involved because
why is Steph not being? He's already paid by the club.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. I'm sure Steph will be out there involved somehow.
Probably the referee.
He'll be for the NPL Queensland Select 11. Now, there is only one player I hope that plays in that team. Actually, possibly two.
Wait. Club legend or NPL Select 11? Mitch Nichols.
I hadn't thought about Mitch.
Well, in the NPL Select 11, I hope it's Shannon Brady.
Yes, Shannon Brady. I hope Shannon Brady's in the NPL Select 11 on the bench.
Because you can't even do 20 minutes.
No,
sorry, he can't do 40 minutes alone.
I was actually really hoping that Shane Smeltz, because he'd just been announced at Gold Coast United, I hope he's in the NPL Queensland Select 11.
Oh my God. Actually great to Robbie Fowler allowed to play?
He's probably too busy getting prepared, mate. It's too intense a time, mate. He's got to G up the player.
Well, Tony Grant might be able to play. It was Andy Player.
Yeah, it was Andy Player. Yeah.
You'd know more about that than I would.
Well, he's almost a bit played before my time. So I don't know, I'm going to remember him. So get around that should be a bit of a laugh, and of course donate. I think all the jerseys are getting auctioned off afterwards, so
it's a shame the girls are down in Sydney this week. Would have been good to have a mixed bash with some of our girls,
but
they're away,
that's it. Oh, they're out on Thursday night, so I mean they'll be back by then, but anyway.
Well, we could always get some
actually it'd be great if Polks rolled out,
that's what I mean, just a couple of them
we could get some Get some girls sort of hang out the boots like Brooke Spence and people like that.
Oh, maybe they're thinking the same. We don't know the old teams.
Yeah. Keep your eye on the social medias for all of that. Players for the month of December announced. I think we already covered it. Jamie Young got it for the A League. Hayley Rezzo for the Y League.
Hard to argue.
That's for December. I was going to say January undefeated in the A League and still Jamie Young.
Jamie Young has not lost that spot yet. And, I would say Hayley Rezzo has still probably got the W League one as well. Just literally the day of we got the episode out last week, the Matilda squad was announced, and all six of ours that you'd probably call our standard Matildas are in the squad for the Olympic qualifiers. So that's Razzo, Yallop, Gori, Polks, KK, and Arnold. So congratulations to those six. So that's pretty awesome stuff for them. Now, this is the interesting one, and it's sort of been covered across on Twitter a little bit by Jeff on Twitter. So Gori, because it was in the news that she was one of the ones that lost a Tier 1 contract. I think one of the other ones, Lisa Devanna. Lisa Devanna, probably the big omission from the Matilda squad. When some probably thought that maybe the Olympics might be her swan song, but not even in the qualifying. Maybe she'll get a gig when we actually get there. Don't know. But Gori dropped one, so which had gone up under this new agreement to, she would have been on 90 grand a year if she'd gotten a T1 contract. But now because she's not T1, she only apparently gets $250 per day that she's in a Matilda's camp, and there's some appearance fees as well. So that's a big change in money if you're on a Tier 1 or not. And And it's interesting, like, you know, Sam Kerr probably deserves to be on a tier one, but now that she probably actually has a really good contract, Sam Kerr probably doesn't need to be. That's a tricky area. Like, Sam Kerr deserves all the money she gets, so don't. But that's, sort of when now, well, I mean, you wouldn't be surprised. I guess Gorey's probably going to try maybe play it in the US again to probably keep the money up.
Yeah.
I guess that's what you're trying to say is you're looking at that Europe, saying, yeah.
Unfortunately, like, that's the other thing. You probably, in doing that, you know, that's a risk for Brisbane Roar is losing her overseas.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's such a big gap. That's the kicker, isn't it? Like, you're trying to say to someone like, Gorey, well, all right, fight for your spot back as a tier one contract. You're like, well, you can't make it hard because I have to really commit myself to multiple clubs and multiple leagues just to make that money up, just to make sure I can have a crack at that.
Yeah, that's it. Like, it's, and I mean, she was injured for a lot. So that probably came into the decision making process. And
I just mean,
and she probably isn't in our, she's probably not in the starting 11 of the Matildas, but she's, would be one that used off the bench. Like, she's in the top 14. Like, yeah, it's tricky.
I mean, I get money's always an issue in Australian football, but
it does just seem like it's a massive drop off.
Such a drop.
Yeah, and yeah, we're not quite sure. There's not much information about how, like, tier two and tier three pairs are played, but this was just what was clipped in a newspaper article about it. So maybe she still gets 30 grand and that isn't really out there or something. Who knows? So. But, yeah, that's just how it was reported. So, yeah, interesting that just about that separation. So, yes, apparently Gingham didn't like Indonesia.
Yeah. There you go.
So he's coming back.
I thought he was the one who wanted to leave to get footy.
Well, yeah, I don't, we're not quite sure what happened, but it was announced.
So we full-on sent him over there because he just stopped playing for Youth League and everything.
Well, maybe he went over there, was flooded, and he was like, well, I'm not used to this.
Who knows?
Wait, do you think he trialled for the club and didn't get picked up?
Yeah, we don't know where the contract sort of fell over.
We'll see. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if that comes out in the watch.
Yeah. Scott McDonald is still a Western United player.
Yep, and was on Optus Sport providing special comment for the first time since he was an unsigned player in the off-season.
Oh, so right.
you imagine that he's probably been or is in the process of being let go by Western United.
Ruben already said he only wants players that want to be there as response.
But then there's still like, well, he's still our player and we don't really.
But I imagine they're trying to get money. That's the thing.
Yeah,
he's clearly said, yeah, if you don't want to be here, get lost, but we're not giving you away for free. Money.
Or we're not just, you know, we're not going to give you a discount.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to get mutual with us, you get mutual on our terms. If you're going to just go and get paid somewhere else, we're not going to pay a fucking contract.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Because the other thing will be is, like, if we are saying, oh, maybe Brisbane want him, Redan will go, well, I'm not giving you to another team that's trying to fight for those
same spots.
4, 5, 6 positions in the final. No way. That's not without money. Like,
And obviously there's and if he's asking to be paid out more than, you know, the time he's going to be there.
We were saying that. I think he signed a 2-year deal, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah,
so 18 months. It's not like he's going to be out of a contract in 5 months.
Yeah. I'm sure probably what he's doing is trying to
get as much
of that money as possible. Exactly. Yeah.
And look, and if I'm in Mark Redan's space, there's no incentive for him to make a decision on this before the end of the month.
Like, definitely not.
Wait until the 31st of January, transfer window's about to shut, just do it. Then it's hard for teams to pick him up. He can't easily move. Most other clubs like Brisbane have already done the transfer dealing.
Yeah.
So I can't see that
changing. And to be fair, as long as he's let go inside the transfer window and he's uncontracted, you know, he would still be able to be picked up post-transfer window.
Yeah, I just mean clubs have probably done most of their movement then.
So it's all tricky and it's all swings and roundabouts.
You know Mark Redan's playing some kind of game of it because
he is.
And look, honestly, I don't care if we get him or not because I very much just think that, you know, we've got one fucking over the hill striker that can't run anymore. Why do we need a second one?
And we've got a good thing going now. Why would we try and
How do you put Scott McDonald and Brad Inman in the same team? You can't. So that's a real big I don't understand it either, but we're still apparently the lead people to sign him. So anyway, we wait and see.
I hope it's not true, but
Gorey Brown to be released by Melbourne Victory, which has led a bunch of people to say, would we want him back? Dan?
No.
Ben?
This is tougher than it seems because at the moment we're playing Jack Ingot at left back.
This is exactly what I put into the Brisbane Roar Supporters Club today.
Yeah. But
we have on their books. We are currently playing Jack King at a left back. We currently have on the books Connor O'Toole, who is a left back. We have Isaac Powell as a youngster coming through, who is a left back. Jordan, we are playing Jordan Courtney Perkins. As much as Dave won't admit it, yes, he might be a centre back on paper, but Robbie Fowler seems to see him as a left back, Dave.
Yeah.
And that's where he's played. And just like Jake McGing is now apparently a right wing back.
And honestly, literally every one of those three players is a better left back than Corey Brown at the present moment.
Mm.
But they're not being played there. Jack Hingett is. So it depends on what Robbie Fowler wants to do with these young players, whether if he's going to play them like he was at the start and show some faith in them and, you know, kind of let them take their knocks, or if he's just going to sign this guy, an absolute fucking, you know, waste of space ahead of them, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you're going to sign Corey, you have to sign him. If you're going to sign him now, he has to be starting.
Yeah. Because
there's no point. Because all you'll do is drive Courtney Perkins and Powell away, because they'll just go, well, now I'm third, fourth, fifth in the pecking order. Don't care.
Yeah. They're already seeing someone getting played out of position ahead of them.
Now, right. And that's
bad enough.
Yeah.
So the answer is no, but because of the situation that's going on right now, you go, well, is that preferable to playing Hingett out of position, also playing McGing out of position at right back to make way for Hingett to play left back in the first place? You just go, just play players in position, for fuck's sake.
But then you got to say, well, all right, Scott Neville's their best right back. Sorry, Hingett.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Right. Like, so the whole equation changes, and so I'm looking at that going, if we need anyone, we need another centre fullback to let Scott McDonald play on the right, and Hingett just has to... Sorry, Jack, you've been injured. Your second fiddle as a wing back. You have to play on your off foot for a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes no sense to sign him with our current squad structure. We seem to be wanting to get rid of left backs, I think, more. Because there were strong rumors that Connor O'Toole is meant to be sold off, but of course he's off at the Oli Roos at the moment. One thing I did want to say, if we are going to sign Luke Bratton, then maybe getting back his best bud, Corey Brown, you know, might just sweeten the deal. We see this a bit in the AFL, sign their best mates, make them feel happy. Hey, just saying.
Bratts and Brown.
Look, Brown, he'll probably pick up a gig at the new MacArthur team if he doesn't, or even probably Western United could probably use. So,
I'm a little worried about that with some of our players. Like, if we do mess around, guys like Courtney Perkins and Powell, like, they're the kind of guys that a new club
will. And many of them are from Sydney. Like, many of them aren't. Well, Isaac Powell is, but I think Jordan Perkins might become from somewhere else. So,
there's a good chance to get a home. Whole bunch of names last week of players that might be fed up. Mork, seems to be out of favour. Dylan went to Halls.
Well,
Georgie Mills, like, you've got this brand new club looking for people that have played some A-League that are just dying for a chance to prove themselves. And I think
Mork will be no loss, but, you know, some of those others.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, George Mills hasn't even been seen. So he's disappeared. He didn't even play Y-League. I don't know where George Mills is, but
I just get
hopefully
it.
Hopefully for him.
Maybe playing
football. Playing football.
Something. Anyway, let's move on.
They might get NPL as well now.
Let's talk about the Oleroos very quickly, just to wrap up the news section. It was 1-1 in the first game between Australia and Iraq. Piscopo rescuing a point with a cracking free kick.
Oh, yeah.
That
was a very sweaty goal.
Yes, and Kassam scoring for Iraq. But then really the big result was the more recent one where we beat the hosts 2-1 in Daggers. Front of a good crowd. And Nicholas D'Agostino, Daggers. Oh, 43,
very nice finishes.
43 and 76 minutes. Anon scored for No Thailand, which I liked. Yeah, and it wasn't anonymous. Something
that was his first initial cue.
Hey,
so Daggers,
Scott Morrison's friend.
Hey,
2 goals for Daggers. Speaking of players that might be on a certain MacArthur Sydney radar that aren't getting game time right now, like, wouldn't you have a go with
this? Is what happened exactly last year in this same like the lead up tournament where we got qualified for this. Daggers was on fire, and he can score at this level. He's not even getting that look in at Perth Glory anymore.
I think that's
probably because you've got Economides, Castro and Fornaroli there. But
yeah,
Economides can't even get on the field.
Yeah, exactly. Economides can't even make
it. They brought Popovich on ahead of Economides in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But they've
got some strength in depth, and he's not, broken into that team.
No. So, you know, that's unlucky for him, but he's still obviously showing that he's got some talent and, you know, he seems like a decent kid, D'Agostino, so I think he'll get another gig somewhere else in the game.
I'm glad that I'm not a big Graham Arnold fan, but I'm glad Graham Arnold has got in his ear and said,
mate, you're a good player.
Mm.
Don't get down that you're not getting footy. You will get footy somewhere sometime.
Yeah.
I'm going to back you.
100%.
Yeah. So the big game is, it's literally as we're recording, it's on tonight. It's just after we record because it's on at 11:15.
It's top v bottom as well. In
the top v bottom, yeah. So we played a couple of hours. So Thailand had already beaten Bahrain as well. So hopefully that's a pretty good sign that we can knock these guys over, which would mean we'll finish top of the group. But second go through as well, and it would have to be a pretty bad result we lose. And I think, I don't even know if we can drop out of the top two, actually.
I don't think we can.
Yeah. So it unless it was a really bad result, maybe that goal difference would get us. So hopefully with the 4 points we have already, at least one more point would definitely guarantee us through, and a win would be nice. Finish top of the group, probably run up against either Syria or Saudi Arabia in the quarterfinals. So
I think quick math said if we do make that quarterfinals or the next round, we qualify comfortably.
So no, that's top three go through. So yeah, we definitely have to get through the quarterfinal. Once you're in the semifinals, then obviously if you win the semifinal and you're in the final, you're definitely going through. And then the third place playoff has actually got a really strong meaning in this one because that literally becomes a playoff qualifier.
Who goes to
yeah.
the Olympics.
Yeah. So
yep.
There was a thing where if Japan had sort of made it through, they if they'd made it to the semifinals, then everyone was automatically through because they're already qualified as hosts. But they're bottom of their group, which is not good news for them.
Surprising, actually.
Yeah, so that's just the way it rolls sometimes. Peak A-League time. And I tell you what, Dan, there was a good one this week. A very, very good peak A-League.
I know you're going to say it's the team, but I just like to define the whole thing by one name and one person. It's the man everyone loves to hate.
Was it hashtag peak Matt Simon?
I like peak Simon, yes.
Peak Simon, yeah. Peak Simon, yeah. So the Melbourne victory, I've got victory next. The Central Coast versus victory game down at Gosford there. It all kicked off like it was sort of. It's all about the last 20-odd minutes, and there's poor Rolls. He thinks he has the go ahead goal.
Yeah,
but it gets
it's one all. He gets in there, yeah. Pops one in off his head. I think it is.
Or tap in on the line, but he's like, I think about ending, like his foot is just offside, like classic VAR now, just really defining offside by
foot's in the air, not on the ground. Yeah. It's like angles, and you're like, well, they've invested in the line technology, so I guess they got it right.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, it's like 5 minutes to make this decision, so it was one of those really close calls.
Really close ones. So it gets chalked off, give it another 10, 15 minutes, up the other end, puts the ball into his own net.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just unfortunate. In the meantime, though, one man had been subbed onto the field.
I love it because... like, you hate him because he's really scum, but you know something's going to happen when Matt Simon comes on. And usually it's a case of, if nothing else is happening, Matt Simon will go and kick someone and get a yellow card.
Yeah.
In this situation, though, it was like the best and the worst possible thing that could go for him. He starts with that. One of the defenders falls over him and bumps him in the goal box and he doesn't get a penalty. So yeah. Blowing up and VAR's like, nah, you just fell. You looked for it, and he's like,
oh yeah, that was the one where he jumped. He sort of jumped. Yeah, I think that wasn't the penalty.
Matt Simon doesn't believe that.
Matt Simon thinks he's completely innocent. Was wiped out of midair by the defender. And then obviously there are the two penalties. I think VAR's involved in both of them. There's one where he goes and look at the video screen to make the decision.
Yeah.
Matt Simon puts both away. He dumps both of them as well.
I love telling this. Just let me cut in. So he gets the first one.
Yeah, and sorry. It's
2-2 now.
2-2, yeah.
And this is in the 93rd minute, right? Yeah. We're already in stoppage time. And then the game's still got like 5 more minutes because the VAR took so long to make that call. And so then they're doing like a goal kick or something. And he's getting...
Victory had this great attack, but of course Central Coast Mariners, after they score a goal, they blow their cannon thing off. So there was all this smoke down to the ground. So you couldn't actually see how big that smoke screwed up the Victory.
I don't know how it helps more. Like, does it make it hard for the Victory line up? Or can Birigetti just not see?
He's not see to actually defend.
But
Victory fans used to know how to deal with smoke. Victory used to know how to deal with smoke, but they had a good flare up for a while, the Victory fans.
I think they're dealing with enough smoke as it is.
So Matty Simon's just, I think it was a goal kick or somewhere in their own back line.
There was a throw in on the sideline.
All I remember is he's getting marked by the Traore. Yeah. And I don't even think he did anything. It's just Matt Simon just like backed into him, realized there was a defender there, and just blew up. And he's turned around and like giving him a big shove. And in the moment, Traore just stepped straight up into his face, and they're full on doing the whole, like, we're not actually punching, but we're kind of shoving venomously while pulling on each other's shirts. The whole team's blowing up. This is like 5-6 minutes in injury time now, and then
I'm pretty sure that's where Simon Schurz gets ripped in that in that fracas.
It's somewhere in the mix of either this or the upcoming penalty, Marco Kurtz gets sent off, and
he's sent off after the second penalty.
After the second penalty, so they get the second penalty. Because
he's probably got the lights while that's all going on, I think, as well. Like, so he's already getting warnings, and then obviously finally it goes up the other end. There is another penalty given. Matt Simon goes, smashes it home. All credit to him.
He could finish that second one.
Second one was like off the other side of the bar. He smashed it. And he goes up, run off. He celebrates so hard that other, like, his teammates come to like jump on him, but he like shrugs them off angrily and keeps running. And he like jumps over the fence to go somewhere at the fence, realizes no one there because it's a Central Coast game. Just back into the field of play. It all kicks it.
It's an absolute madman.
Yeah, absolute madman. It is worth watching a mini match of that one.
And then
Kurtz at the end. Kurtz gets sent off.
Is that the first coach to get sent off this year?
I can't remember another one getting sent off. But
I think it is.
I can't remember a coach being sent off, but I can't remember a coach missing a game.
No,
that's what kind of makes me think no one has been sent off yet.
Unless someone got sent off and maybe got rescinded. Like, I feel like maybe Kurtz get sent off in Adelaide or something? Like,
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, Babel's the only other one I can think of, but he keeps his comments for the press conference.
Yeah, the press conference, and he just keeps getting fined. Yeah, so anyway, worth watching that one. That was a great PK league.
I think this would be Matt Simon's last year, but I'm glad he's going out in the way he's
style. Right, let's move on and do a bit of Going for Orange.
ORA. N-G-E, that spells orange easy as can be. O-R-A, N-G-E, that spells orange most definitely.
So, we have a score update. I know you've all been hanging out for it, and now that other are not on zero, it's time to actually bring everyone up to speed. So, we have 3 points going to Pricey and Dave, and we have two points going to Ben, and 1 point going to Yeshiba, or... also, Rick and myself and other sponges that are riding off the back of Yeshiva's success. Thank you, Nate.
Yes. All right. I am going to do it this week, so let's get straight into it. I was born on the 11th of October, 1983. Incorrect.
Pass.
Born in Amsterdam, I spent my youth playing for Ajax's youth team.
Patrick Swanswijk.
Incorrect.
Pass.
I have no faith in you getting this one, Dan, so it really is on that, I'm not going to lie. I have played in the Netherlands, Spain, Belgium, Scotland, Hong Kong, Vietnam, and, well, of course, Australia too.
Steph Nayland?
Incorrect.
Pass.
My best playing stint happened in the lower leagues of Belgium, playing for Beerschot, helping them to multiple promotions through the lower leagues of the Antwerp-Belgium conference system after the club had dissolved and had a merger with another local club. I just really want to say Beerschot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a great logo. I don't know if you know, it's the bear on the purple background. Yeah. It's a great one.
I passed.
Know that from Football Manager.
Yeah. Beerschot. Yeah. They are folded, and so they had to merge with another local club.
Yeah. Peter Collin.
Incorrect. My start in the A-League came from a short-term injury replacement deal lasting only 6 games. However, I stayed in Australia and was able to pick up another injury replacement deal, this time for Carl Dodd. More impressive performances led me to be offered a 1-year deal at the same club.
Okay. Injury replacement for Carl Dodd. Interesting. Okay.
Processing.
Next clue, please.
Next clue. In the A-League, I scored 7 goals in 38 appearances, all for the one club.
7 goals. Darren Dahl.
Correct. So my last 2 clues were I played for 2 national teams, So I was going to throw that one in earlier. I don't know whether you would have gotten that one.
I think that would have been my trigger to get that one too.
Yeah, that's what it is. And the last one I had was I scored the winner in North Queensland Fury's first ever home victory against Perth Glory. The other scoring the 2-1 win, Robbie Fowler. Yeah. So that's Darren Dale. Yeah, so he played for two national teams officially. He played for the Netherlands Tillies, and then the Netherlands Tillies got dissolved officially, and Curaçao is officially linked with. So, yeah, and they took over the history of the Netherlands Tillies anyway. Sort of like playing for USSR and Soviet Russia and Russia. Like,
now there's second Curaçao international in the A-League.
Yes, absolutely.
Maria plays for Adelaide.
Yeah, and he's really sharp. He goes a bit quiet sometimes, but really good play.
Yeah, so, yes, Darren Dale, so that's a point to Ben, which I think takes you up to 3, and correct. Means it's all tied up the top there. So
3 points.
3 points. That is going for Orange for the week. Let's move on to a bit of tipping. Of course, you have the scores. That's your cue, and you missed it.
So, last week, we all tipped really similar, and we all paid the price, so... The high score this week was 4 tips. So that was Ben, Dave, listeners, Pricey, and Dan. And Rick got 3, and Yoshiba got 2.
Oh, Yoshiba.
So unfortunately, that puts Yoshiba further down the ladder. He's on 42 points. Ben is on 47. Dave is on 49. The listeners have caught up to Rick on 50 points. Pricey is on 52. And Dan's on 62.
So far ahead.
Yeah, it's almost like Liverpool sort of territory lead.
Bayern Munich most seasons in the Bundesliga. Yeah. All right, let's get into this week's tips. Couple of interesting ones here. We have Adelaide versus Melbourne Victory to kick it off, the original derby. Original rivalry, Derby, I'm not sure which way they go with that. Dave has gone for Adelaide. Yoshiba's on the draw. What says you, Dan?
I think managerless Victory are going to lose, so Adelaide.
All right, Adelaide. Right, you said Victory and then my brain just went there. Ben, what are you thinking, you reckon?
Adelaide, please. Adelaide.
You know they've lost like 5 games in a row?
Yeah, I believe.
I do. I'm going
to. Ryan McGree's back. They got this.
I'm going to jump on the draw for them. James Chiwisi is apparently going to try and leave already for them. Like,
of course he is.
It's just like, he is a terrible...
Where's he going?
I don't know. Somewhere that's not Australia? Somewhere that will pay him slightly more money?
Yeah, and that will let him return to the A-League in 6 months when he's sick of it?
Yeah, pretty much. Brisbane versus Wellington on the early Saturday afternoon kickoff. Dave's on the draw. Yoshiba's on the Knucks. I'm going to jump on the Knucks as well because I think they're pretty bloody good. What about CZU, Ben?
Yoshiba went for the Knicks.
Yeah, I know. He's normally the loyalist.
Okay. That means that I'm going to go for Brisbane.
I'm going to sit on draw.
Draw. Interesting.
Because I'm looking at what Yoshiba's tipping and, you know, I don't trust it.
I know, right? Like, I'd sort of already put my tip in, and then I saw his tip come in. I'm like, doesn't feel good, but all right, that's over rolling. Melbourne City hosts the Newcastle Jets. So far, we have Dave and Yoshiba both on Melbourne City. What says you, Ben?
Oh, God.
City versus Jets. Second versus
City. It's got to be City.
Yeah. I'm also on Melbourne City. What says you, Dan?
City.
Yeah.
How did Jets go this week on that coach? Didn't lose.
Narrow loss.
They pushed Sydney.
Oh, that's right. They had a really good run against Sydney.
Yeah, they showed a lot more.
It's that typical when you get a new manager, you look good for a couple of weeks and then you get figured out again.
Exactly. It just different, you know, when a coach gets sacked, it shocks you as a playing group a bit. Western United host Central Coast Mariners, fresh on a 1-game winning streak. Dave has gone for the Wu-Tang Clan, though. I am also going to back them. Yoshiba's on the draw. What says you, Dan?
Central Coast Mariners, Matt Simon.
Oof. Wow, 2 in a row. Ben?
Agree with Dan. I was thinking that I was going to be the only one, but no.
I just think Western United have fallen off the wagon.
Wanderers.
Yeah, well. We'll see. The last game of the round is Western Sydney Wanderers hosting Perth. Dave has gone for Perth. Yoshida's on the Western Sydney Wanderers. What says you, Dan?
Perth.
Perth. Yeah, they've won like 5 in a row. Ben.
Yeah, look, Perth.
I reckon that almost could be, if Babel loses that, that might be it for him. Sydney FC versus Brisbane Roar. Dave is saying loyal, tipping the Brisbane. Yeshiva's on the draw, not so faithful. What says you, Ben?
I'm going to go a draw.
Just W League, of course, now.
I'd love to be able to say a win, but
Brisbane.
I am going to be completely unloyal and back Sydney FC because I still have nightmares. Melbourne City host Newcastle Jets. City across the board for myself, Yeshiba and Dave. Yep. I have a feeling I know where these all these last three are going to go for everyone. They're pretty one-sided looking affairs. What says you? That is literally top league bottom, I think. No, Perth at bottom. Adelaide versus Victory in Adelaide. Melbourne Victory backed by Dave and Yeshiba. What says you, Dan?
Victory.
What says you, Ben?
I'm going to go with Adelaide here.
Adelaide. Well, that would be an upset if it happened. Great for us if it did. I'm going to back Melbourne Victory.
Part of the reason why I want it to happen.
Yeah, fair enough. And the final game of the round is Western Sydney Wanderers versus Perth, which is just a nice little...
Wanderers for me, thank you.
Yeah, Wanderers for you. Yeah, everyone so far is already on the Wanderers.
That's Wanderers.
Wanderers across the board there. That does us for tipping. That pretty much wraps up the show. Of course, we are available. If you wish to get involved, and we'd love for you to do so, jump on Twitter at The Roarcast. I know the Twitter polls are already up where you can select and tip along with us and show what you've got going on. So keep yourself involved that way. So
make sure you tweet Ben while you're there.
Yeah, make sure you tweet Ben so he comes back to lots of tweets when his ban is up.
Hey, I can read them.
You can read? Okay. All right, you just can't interact.
That's right. Okay. The only thing I can do is send DMs. So if you want to try on my DMs,
yeah,
for free. In Twitter jail until after next week's game.
I'm sure we'll find a way for you to get your opinions out.
Look, I might actually have to use the Roarcast account.
Someone should actually tweet from it. Yeah, we didn't do a very good job of that on the weekend because Dave was busy with little Xavier and, tweets went up solves. Facebook.com/TheRoarcast, of course, as well. We chuck stuff up on. And, of course, if you want to, we would love you to subscribe. If you just listen to this for the first time, we're on Anchor. This is where these are really uploaded. You can leave us messages on there, anchor.fm/TheRoarcast. Yeah. We have a fancy new home landing page there because they updated our profile look. It now matches our colors. So fancy. It's amazing.
And obviously, leave those 1-minute voice messages for us because
it'll better be than listening to us for the whole 90 minutes.
That's it. So get involved there. Of course, we're on Spotify as well. You can jump on there and subscribe, Apple Podcasts. And of course, if you leave a review on Apple Podcasts,
we'll read it out on the show. I mean, you can, necessity to do that these days is a little bit, a little bit less because you can actually leave your own review.
Yeah.
Via Anchor.
Or exactly. You can write your own review and read it out in your own thing on voice, Anchor.
On Anchor.
Yeah.
So you do our job for us. You're legitimately doing our job for us. Either way.
We're anywhere where you'll find good podcasts. Google Podcasts available if you're on Android devices. Pocket Cast is a great sort of third-party app. Overcast, Breaker. I don't even know what those ones are. Radio Public, but apparently we're available on all of them as well. So pretty much, look, I know where most of our traffic comes from, and it's honestly Spotify and Apple Podcasts. So, that's just the way it rolls. That's the way it's going to be a little dull, and that's enough for us for this episode. It's still been a pretty long one despite all that. So thank you very much for joining us again, Dave. Did you want to, Dave?
Apparently,
it's getting late at night. I miss you, Dave, right? That's why I was thinking about you, Dave. And
Dave's been here the whole time. You just never introduced him. Podcast etiquette.
real respect.
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Danny Butts.
Thank you.
And Mr. Ben Clark.
Thanking you.
No worries. We'll catch you all next week, listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye.